They took the geometry book, they photocopied it, put it onto transparencies, and used an overhead projector, and I got as close to the screen as I could to make out the drawings and the diagrams in order to understand the concept. Well, the closer you get to the projector, you create a shadow which blocks what you're trying to look at. You get in your own way. You get in your own way. And so God, in order for God to work with us and work through us, we have to get out of our way, right? We have to put those fears, those doubts, those reservations, those preconceived ideas, we have to get those out of our way. We have to. And so we do that, and so in the midst of this struggle of trying to understand, the geometric concept, one of my tutors came up to me and says, Mike, I realized something. You're a visual learner. Well, that is like the worst thing that a visually challenged person wants to hear. It's just like, what do you do with that? But it's very similar to when we are being led by the Holy Spirit, but we don't know what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Because we're getting something, but we don't know what to do with it. So I continue on. I get to college now. My parents urged me to go into computer programming. Took my first computer programming class and got through it because it was punched cards and I could get help and I could do that. So I knew that was where part of my gifting was. I had an aptitude for that, and I was really getting excited about it. Like, okay, yes, I'm finally, going to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, so I thought. And so then I took my second class, and 3 weeks in, this class had to use what they call a dumb terminal, so a CRT and a keyboard, and you type in the programming code, and you're supposed to be able to see on the screen what is going on. Where your mistakes are, and so on. And so, when I was, to do that, because that just was not something that I was going to be able to see to do, they developed this talking terminal. Well, they ran out of money, and so they couldn't give me the terminal, and so I was devastated. I couldn't complete the classes. I ended up having to drop that class, and so my parents, being the positive people they are, they said, well, we're going to need to look for another school then. So we go up north, and we're checking out these schools that are further along, and it was going to be a hardship because everything was so far away, and I wasn't really looking forward to being hundreds of miles away from my family. And so we're talking about this over dinner. We go to this restaurant, and we finish our meal, and as the custom was kind of in our family, my dad would stay back and pay the bill, and my mom would walk out to the car. Well, on this particular occasion, Mom decided to take a little detour into the ladies' room, and I went right in after her. Like tragic, funny circumstances when we're following the world, the flesh, and the devil instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. Some things are more embarrassing than going into the ladies' room. Those who have the Holy Spirit walk by faith. What we can't see, hear, taste, smell, or touch. There's people that learn things differently through different means. Some of us are visual learners. Some of us are auditory learners. You know, we've got to listen to our audio books, listen to audio messages, talk to people to gain information audibly. There's some of us that need to follow somebody. They're hands-on, kinesthetic learners, where you got to watch them and you got to learn by doing. There's even people out there that learn by eating. And God, as bizarre as that sounds, I believe God, that nothing is a surprise to God. And so in God's word, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because we need to apprehend God however that is, through our sight, through our hearing, through our smell, through our taste, through our touch, all this. And isn't it amazing that we have an amazing God who has revealed himself in so many ways so that we might apprehend him? So, I've got the inside track here. I'm a step ahead of you. Faith in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, some people, they say, oh, I feel so sorry for you. No, I feel sorry for most of them because they're not aware of something that I was blessed. God revealed himself in a very special way to me. And so I have that blessing. And so we have the writer of Hebrews, and he tells us, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Believers have something better. Believers have something better. It's just amazing. You think about this, you ponder this, and you realize before Paul wrote Romans, he wrote Galatians. The order of the canon, our Protestant New Testament, it's not the way things were actually written. And so Galatians came first. So Galatians is like pre-Romans. And so in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba. Like that song that we sang, da, da, da. Daddy. Daddy. Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We have something better. We are heirs. And Romans 8:14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so in geometry, you know, I was talking about that earlier, we have these proofs, right, where you try to prove things. And so because you are a son of God, you have the Spirit of God. And because you have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you are a son of God. That's a proof. It's kind of cool. And so what do? We have this. We have this. And with great responsibility, with great blessing comes great responsibility. And so Galatians 5:16, Paul is saying, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, it's not easy. I know it's not. I know some of you are grappling, struggling with some just terrible things. And I think one of the mistakes we make when we try to sell Christ, we try to do a sales job, we try to make this thing to be like too good to be true. And so we think, oh, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And he does, but it almost gives people the idea, hey, sign up for your get out of hell free card and everything's going to be smooth sailing. And it just doesn't work that way. And I know it doesn't. It's not easy. We have these struggles. And Paul even had those struggles. He says in Romans 7, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I ought to do. And if super Christian Paul has to struggle, then you know we're going to struggle too. Jesus, our Lord, struggled. It wasn't easy for him to do what he did for us. You know, according to the scriptures, Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That was not an easy thing. And so Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God. We got to be thankful. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. When I received my sight, when I found my sight, so to speak, my spiritual sight and my physical sight. In high school, I had become a Christ follower, accepted the Lord, and I think I was about 16, and I preached my first sermon at 16. Not too many people know that. And so what made that possible was there's this machine called a closed-circuit TV. And so I was able to get close enough to a monitor to read my Bible. You can see how big the letters are. And for the first time, I didn't have to worry about that projector. I didn't have to worry about my head getting in the way of the projector and getting myself confused and not being able to see. It was almost as radical as what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. You might be familiar with the story. Paul was murdering Christians. He was persecuting Christians. He was writing letters. He was getting letters together. He was going on his plan of attack. And he was even at the, when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, recorded Christian martyr, he was there. He was holding the coats for the people that were stoning Stephen. And so he's on the road, and he loses his sight, and he's blind for 3 days. So we take up the story in Acts 9:17. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Remember one of our texts, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to confess and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we know that the Holy Spirit got a hold of Paul, just as he gets a hold of us. Now, here's something exciting. There's this wonderful promise in Isaiah. This is concerning my new ministry that I've recently been doing. "And I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone." You realize that hasn't happened yet. We're still waiting for that huge promise. When Jesus comes again, that's going to be something pretty exciting. And when that happens, and then it's going to be like this: "And on that day, the deaf shall hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see." Isaiah, you know, he said more about Christ than any of the other writing prophets. And we need to spend more time there to know and appreciate some of God's truths. So in seminary, I had the privilege of taking the Theological Foundation of Missions class. It's one of the core classes for my degree. And up until that time, I had visited so many churches over the years, and it seemed like every time I visited a church, it was the missions emphasis. You know, it would be like today, Heather and Chloe getting up there and talking about another opportunity to serve, and I'm like, wow. And so I kept hearing all of this, and I just knew God was calling me into the mission field. I didn't know what that was going to look like, and Andrea and I even, you know, had discussions about that when we were dating and planning to get married, and it was scary, because my concept was, you want to be a missionary, you cross a large body of water, you learn a new language, you get immersed in a new culture, you learn to witness and live among people and get to know them so that you can witness and evangelize and disciple and then, you know, do it all over again somewhere else. And so I began getting exposed to this creative idea that there's so many other ways to be a missionary. And so in the course of that class, I belonged to an email list, and this man, Grant, for the Bartimaeus Alliance of the Blind, he had this website where he provided Bible study materials for the blind. and the deafblind, and, you know, Hebrew and Greek study aids, commentaries, different translations of the Bible. I mean, it's a huge gold mine. And he's even got a public area for the non-print impaired, and he's got this amazing story on there in the country of the blind. And he says there's a proverb from the 15th century, and he says, it says, there are none so blind as those who will not see. So there's a lot of great resources there. And so one-tenth of 1% of all the printed material is available in Braille. The odds aren't very good. This morning in our pre-service prayer, we were talking about the books that we have on prayer, you know, in our own library that Charles so faithfully maintains. And there's 85 books there on prayer. And if you want to go learn more about prayer, that's an excellent place to start and check them out. But imagine if you had 100 of those books, you took one of those books. Now, don't do this. Charles would not be happy. But you take this book, chop it up into tenths, and then take a tenth of that and put it into Braille. That's what we're talking about. And so for those of you that the Lord has blessed financially, we hold a Bible conference once a year where we let blind people see, experience Bible teaching among them, other blind people. And we have sighted volunteers that guide and help them navigate, because it's a strange, you know, it costs money to go to a conference center, as you know, and have meals and lodging, and then we bring in speakers and we teach them about the Word of God, and it takes money to maintain a website. And so if God has blessed you financially, we'd love for you to partner with us. We are a 501(c) nonprofit, parachurch. You know, your contributions are tax deductible. But above anything else, if you could just pray for me. This is a new venture for me. I'm still getting my arms around what it is to run a nonprofit and do all those things involved with that, and getting resources out there for blind people to be able to use. So without the Holy Spirit, you can't see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. So now what are we to do with our transformed life? If you were listening to this sermon and it was just, what is he saying? Yeah, that crock pot went a little too long, preacher, and I just don't know what you've exposed me to here. If you're in a quandary about that, we're going to have a reflect and respond time coming up here. And I want you to seek. We're going to have people standing in the aisles available to pray with you. We're going to have people up here. We're going to have people available in the prayer room at the end, after we're dismissed, for you to be able to talk about that journey and what that might begin to look like. If there's those of you who are out here that, you know, you lost the scales a long time ago, you can see, but you've got some blind spots, you've got some patches that just are not, you're just having trouble. You know, we have this wonderful promise in 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to forgive our sins. That's a huge promise. But sometimes we get in our own way. We're so close to the projector screen that we have a spiritual eclipse where we let the world get between us and the S-O-N. Because we're gazing at the world and glancing at God, and we need to be gazing at God and glancing at the world. So I'm gonna pray right now, and then the worship team can come up, and I'm gonna give you an opportunity, all of you, to to respond as the Spirit has led or is leading. Father God, Abba, Daddy, I just, as I curl up in your lap, as I long to hear your comforting voice, I ask that you, that this begins with me, that you open my eyes, that you clear the fog and the haze, that you open my ears. Lord, give us seeing eyes, give us hearing ears, give us a heart that is Spirit-led, so that when we fill the words, when we fill our spirit with your word, that we're in a position where the Holy Spirit can direct us like a fire hose. If we're Spirit-led and we've indoctrinated ourselves in your word, then the Spirit's going to tell us where to point the fire hose, where to put out the fire, where to speak truth to a lost and dying world. So if there's anybody here that needs to seek out some guidance to discover what this really is, to be led by the Spirit, to be Spirit-led, so that we can not live under the law, but so that we can live through the Holy Spirit, live the spiritual life. I ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Our thought for the week, those who have spiritual sight, gaze at the spiritual and glance at the world. Why don't you come and sing, and as we sing,